The following is presented by the Cheeky Bastards.
Come out to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers, and welcome to Season 2 and the 13th edition of Dropping a Bruce, the monthly podcast where we watch every single one of Bruce Willis's 40 direct-to-video releases from his acting career to see if he took the role for a paycheck and dropped a deuce, or if, in fact, he took the role and gave it his all and dropped a Bruce. I am the Notorious Scott K.
And my name is Mr. Smith.
And together, we will be your hapless stewards on this 40-month journey through the lesser-known movies of Mr. Bruce Willis's filmography. This month's stop finds us kicking off Season 2 of our three-and-a-quarter-year adventure as we review 2018's American action thriller, Reprisal. Mr. Smith, how excited are you that we have made it to the start of a second season, the second year of this arduous journey, and the fact that as we record this, it's not his birthday, but when this drops, Mr. Willis will be turning 69. Score check over here.
Oh, well, yeah, I think it's been quite a journey so far. There's been some surprises, some massive disappointments, but all in all, I think, well, we've had a good time.
Yes, yes.
I certainly hope the listeners have too.
As a tough guy footballer turned actor says in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, it's been emotional.
It's been emotional.
It's been emotional.
Yes.
But as we drop this beautiful opening Season 2 episode on Mr. Willis's 69th birthday, I do not think we will see him in any future movies, as unfortunately, as we record here in the end of February, a day or two before we drop the 12th episode, he's not doing well. His family's actually taking care of him now. He cannot make actual decisions on his own. And for those of you who may or may not have known, there was rumor that Tarantino was hoping to get him in to a cameo-like role in his last movie, and I don't know if that's going to be an option anymore. So I do not think we will get the proper farewell send-off for Mr. Willis. Unfortunately, I think when we reach Assassins that came out last year, that will be the final bell for Mr. Willis, which is a little sad.
Yeah, very sad. But, you know, he's certainly left his mark. And I'm optimistic about the Tarantino thing. And if he may show up in the Tarantino movie,
you think maybe he'll still, you never know?
Well, no, I think Tarantino's no fool. He may be able to work something out. So there'll be at least a homage in there.
Maybe,
that, sure.
Yeah, we should see.
You know, because as we know, if it wasn't for Mr. Willis, Pulp Fiction may not have turned out quite how it did.
This is true. He was the bankable star at the time. He was the person who became that bankable star.
And that's not lost on Mr. Tarantino, if any interviews you've seen. You know, you'll know from the interviews. So I think one way or another, Mr. Willis will rear his head. He'll rear his shiny bald head somewhere. You know, there'll be something in there, I'm sure. And who knows, maybe, you know, let's be optimistic, hey?
Hey, I am hoping. But I'm just going by what I read from the wife.
No, you know, I've kind read of the an same things. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But like,
I mean, you know,
say,
he's doing good as far as, but he can't make his own decisions anymore. And now a lot of family members trying to help him out, so... Unfortunately.
Very sad.
However, it is, well, we'll get into it as we start Season 2 here, but some things may have already started to show up in this film. But before we give our daughter her insulin shot and track down an elusive thief, it's time for our...
What you talking about, Willis?
Just the facts, man. Just the facts.
This film was released in 2018, written by Bryce Hammonds and directed by Brian A. Miller. Starring Bruce Willis, Frank Grillo, Jonathan Scheck, Olivia Culpo, Colin Egglesfield, Joy Elizabeth Corrigan, Christopher Rob Bowen, and Tyler John Olson, with a running time of 89 minutes, made on a budget of $10 million and grossing $598,000 at the box office. It holds a 4.3 on IMDb, with an 8 critics and 17 audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. A bank manager haunted by a violent heist that took the life of a coworker teams up with his ex-cop neighbor to bring down the assailant, initiating an explosive counterattack that brings all three men to the breaking point. Highland Film Group and Lionsgate Premiere presents Reprisal.
It's all over the news.
I just keep seeing it over and over again.
Break it down for me.
He was violent and tactical, gear head to toe. He had index cards. He was in, he was out.
You ever want to talk?
I'll be here for you.
Are you okay?
I should have done something.
If you had done something, you wouldn't be here right now.
We're hoping you can help us here, Mr. Tasker.
This guy knew your facility inside out. The exact location of that locker.
I can't even make a move until the feds clear me.
He reached out to you at all?
Not since the robbery.
You just want to clear your name.
Yeah, of course.
I need you back.
It's the same guy for each one of these things.
Three quick heists. He's following a pattern.
This is the guy.
We're gonna have to fix this.
This guy's following an armored car.
Stay armed.
Open the door!
Who is this?
I remember you from the bank.
You call the police, and your wife and daughter will suffer before they die.
He's in my house, man. We gotta get over there.
Christina? Sophia?
Put the shotgun on the table.
You want to talk with somebody, you talk to me. Got a holster behind my back. Just gave you 20.
Mr. Bruce Willis plays James, an ex-Cincinnati police officer and next-door neighbor of Jacob Tasker, the bank manager, whose bank was just recently robbed. So, we don't get a last name, and once again, we're back in Cincinnati. We've got an Ohio run going on here since the beginning of Marauders. We have been stuck in Ohio here in America. We get out of the South. We were really in the South early on, but now we're back in Cincinnati. Back where we belong, at WKRP in Cincinnati. That's an American.
WKRP in Cincinnati. I remember that show.
Great show. Now, as I said last month, as we shut down season one, again, we're in 2018. He has four films released, and only one of them was theatrical, and that was Death Wish. So next month's film will be the fourth of the releases of 2018, and our third of his direct-to-video. So, as we said, we're getting ready. I think in our two episodes from now, we'll be into 2019, and that's it. That's the farewell to Mr. Willis on the big screen.
We're going into uncharted territory.
Yes, then we get into 20+.
We really don't know what's in store.
I feel like we're starting there now as it is.
Let's not, no spoilers just yet. But I know what you're saying, but I think from this movie onwards, we're going to start to, the cracks are going to start to show, let's put it that way.
Yes, the cracks are going to start to show for sure. Now, in case you didn't get enough of my earlier read of what this plot is, Reprisal is about a bank manager whose bank was recently robbed. His reoccurring nightmares about it force him to decide that he must get the assistance of his ex-cop neighbor, who together, they're going to do what the FBI's task force cannot do, and that's catch this professional and very deadly thief, because he has the instincts of Sherlock Holmes, and his daughter suffers from type 2 diabetes.
Important.
I threw that in there because it is just as pointless as it being in the film. But before we slip slide down here and force you to reprise your decision to listen to this, we are going to talk about the notes. Once again, this film was filmed in Cincinnati, Ohio in 14 days. Mr. Willis was on set for only one of those days. We did trim a few of the producers down, 22. I mean, we're still in double digits, but 22 is a manageable number.
That cocksucking.
Jesus Christ. Now, this is our third film for Mr. Brian A. Miller, with the other two being of season one's two real gems. The first, Steve's personal favorite, The Prince. And one of my personal favorites, Vice. We also have 10 minutes gone to look forward to from him in another 2 months. So we will have a total of four films from him. And if you listen to our bonus episode that we'll talk more about at the end of this episode, he may be nominated for a category that he may be back nominated for in season two's Bruce's as well.
Yeah.
Now, in his defense, Miller was given only 14 days to shoot this film because the Weinstein wannabes and world-renowned pieces of shit Randall Emmett and George Furla took huge salaries. So I'm starting to realize that this is definitely a money grab and how these cocksuckers continue to make $10 million pictures and make nothing back and still get this money. This is how they do it. Here's a little glimpse into how big a piece of shit they are. Emmett and Furla cast dozens of one-day players that included people they owed money to help cover their debts with them. Fucking pieces of shit.
Well, that's some economics going on once again with these cocksuckers. Yeah, some
the American economics.
Yeah, good old economics. But yeah, this gang of fucks, they just, mm-hmm. They've got no shame. No shame.
And they preyed upon Bruce Willis, used him as a bankable star to fucking just steal money from fucking morons.
I swear literally every woman in this movie looks like a fucking stripper as well.
Yes. Well, yes. And acts like one as well. The acting chops of a stripper. And that's not too kind because some strippers are good actors. Yeah,
come on, man. Different times.
Speaking of acting, Frank Grillo admitted to taking the role for the money, which he went on to use for his garden. At least something grew out of this. You know what I mean?
Hey,
pun intended. Oh, man.
But yeah, Frank Grillo, he's no slouch.
No. We'll get into him too. Yeah, he may take the money, but...
Yeah, we'll get... He delivered.
You know, a couple people had some reviews of it. Todd Jorgensen of Cinemalog writes, thoroughly uninspired and laughably incoherent, this low-budget parade of cops and robbers cliches is an embarrassment for all involved. While Rob Hunter of Film School Rejects wrote, these people have been through enough, says a character in the film's final minutes, and you can't help but think he's talking about the audience.
Oh.
And lastly, maybe the best review comes from IMDb user Azapita72342, who writes, my dog wrote a suicide note after watching this.
Ouch.
And that is now on the back of the box.
That'd sell any movie to me, to be fair. And just a little, if I may, just quickly, this movie is available for free on YouTube. So,
well, I watched it kind of for free on Amazon the other night, and I may change my Amazon Prime membership. No, excuse me.
You want to see it in HD?
I'm waiting for the 4K.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for the era 4K.
The fully immersive experience. So, I get it.
Do you think we could talk Arrow into doing an entire 4K 40 disc volume of the Bruce Willis dropping a Bruce episode? So we could just get a whole, all the movies in glorious 4K restoration.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. Someone's going to do it. It's a doity job, but someone's going to do it.
Now, Reprisal. Better than some of the ones we've seen, but again, I think some are going to drop. I think we're going to fall off a cliff in some of these. I've read just even the blurbs, so I'm like, oh, I think some of these are going to drop. But right now, we feel like we're in mediocrity land, right? Like, they're movies that you go, like last week's movie, Acts of Violence. There's so many holes in the plot and ridiculousness that'll make you laugh. But the movie has moments where it holds up and you go, okay, it wasn't like a total train wreck like Extraction was. Frank Grillo, really good in this film, considering what he was given for the subject material and the ridiculousness of this plot. A bank manager suddenly realizes that his true calling is he's the fucking Ohio Cincinnati version of Sherlock Holmes, and he's figuring out shit with his ex-buddy, his ex-cop neighbor, and FBI task force is befuddled by this guy, but not these two. No, we drink a couple of beers. We got a whiteboard. We're going to figure this out.
A bit of Valium, a couple of beers.
Exactly.
They get the laptop out. They get the magic marker. Suddenly, they're solving. They found out where fucking
It's fucking Sherlock Holmes and Watson over here.
9/11's all figured out. They're fucking... Listen.
They know a Hoffa's buried. They know all of the details. Who JFK shot him? They got it all. These two guys.
They know where Tupac's hiding. Bruce Lee.
Who shot Biggie Lee? Who shot Biggie?
But yeah. Oh, my God. But as you've said, it is mediocre. But, it's got that kind of cozy familiarity to it where you within 5 minutes, you pretty much know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you're in for.
Yes.
And it's, you know, you watch it for free on you on the YouTubes or Amazon.
Yeah, on the tubes of the U's.
On the U's. Oh. You know, and you're kind of like, well, you know, I like Frank Grillo. I like Bruce Willis.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so it's only 90 minutes of your time.
Just a minute shy. Yeah, we got 89. Exactamundo. You know, technically 84 if you get rid of the 5 minutes of credit, you're, and then you're out quickly.
Exactly, yeah. You know, we start off with the old... Choo Choo Train logo.
We get the Choo Choo, and that Choo Choo Train is
showing the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, that train's going right up your ass.
We just want to see where this goes. Ultimately, you just want to see where this goes.
You know, you're getting in trouble because there's always the cliche. I mean, we get this little, they're doing a whole little like time thing. I don't know what that's about. Like, they keep telling us what day it is, what time it is, which really none of that matters. None of it matters. Like sometimes when you have time, like it's important that you know, because then some things are going to cross over, so you know that, oh, that's happening. Yeah. You know, this meant nothing.
It's just falsely lending some sort of legitimacy to what's going on.
Yeah, he saw a movie, he's like, I like this, these titles are going in here.
But that's just to give someone something to do, I guess, so they can write it off somewhere down the line. You've got all this like location sort of blurb and dates and times. And you're not paying attention to it anyway.
Nope. And then Frank Grillo comes on screen, and we do the old-fashioned thing. That's how you know a movie's going to be bad when it starts with a cliche. Because everyone in movies that aren't good, they're always running late to get somewhere. No one ever sets an alarm. Everyone's always, we got to go. Let's go grab your stuff. We got to go. And then as they're trying to go, what do you think happens? Have you seen McGee's? It's like, what the fuck's wrong? Every human being in a film doesn't know what time they got to leave. And they don't know where the fucking keys are. It's like writing 101. How do I open this script? Interior home. Day. A woman comes downstairs frazzled. They're running late again, Sarah. But do you think she can find it? Do you think this bitch can find the keys? Nope.
Let's just get this out of the way, though. Frank Grillo is horrendously miscast as a bank manager.
Yes, yes. He looks like he's going to bench the bank.
He's
already been in other movies where he's jacked up.
No wonder the FBI was suspicious of him later in the movie, because he fucking looks like a bank robber.
Even that's something holds. Because like when the bank gets robbed, which is... It's not a terrible scene.
That's not a bad
But there's
sequence.
No need to shoot the guard. Like there was a moment like... Everything else this guy did, kind of like when we talked about Marauders, rob bank robbed in Cincinnati, but that guy goes in, no one gets killed in the first one except for the guy who tries to pull a gun. Like, there's a reason for it. This guy has completely got his back turned to him. No need to shoot him. He could easily go in and, you know, knock him down, whatever.
But he
needs that so we can push the story. Like, that's a plot point only.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't shoot the guy, there's no gunfire, whatever. And, I mean, again, he's also willy-nilly shooting in the air. Like,
that's just to scare the fuck out of people.
I get it.
But I think he had to shoot the security guy because he was on his own. So it's the only other guy in there with a gun. So fucking incapacitate the guy.
I guess.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? But everything else about his plan seems pretty well thought out, except for this part.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And then when he goes to rob the truck, like he's doing this whole big, he's got this whole big thing set up where he's, you know, measuring out the steps and everything, and he's like pretending he's shooting 30,000 people, and it's like, what do you need? Like, he's just, there's two people. Like, what is this whole thing he's doing?
Yeah, because when the cops show up, that's like he takes on the entire Ohio police force with a pistol.
With a pistol, and our friend Miller's a big Star Wars fan because these cops are stormtroopers. No one's hitting anybody.
No.
700 bullets are fired. No one even gets winged.
It's like the fucking A-Team, you know. People are jumping around.
Nothing's happening.
You're just like, what?
Bullets don't matter.
So the bank gets robbed. He knows what he's there for.
No, they literally make him the first suspect. Frank Grillo, like, they literally bring him in, and the way that these guys are acting is if he... It's like, they show him pictures like, 3 days ago, Miami, this guy did it. 2 days ago in Pittsburgh, they did it. Today in Cincinnati, your bank. Want to tell us where you were? It's basically like, how was Miami in Pittsburgh? It's like,
I've been sitting in the bank. AK-47 pointed at my face for the last hour.
Exactly. Yeah, because most robbers zip tie their hands together, which they never show that part, because when he comes through the doors the second time and he's holding a bag of money, I'm like, when did he get zip tied together?
That was a little bit confusing, and then he just disappears into thin air as well.
Yes.
The robber, I said.
Oh, no, I know, but apparently if you fire bullets in the air, that triggers the fucking die packs. That's what happened. Later today, when you get, you come back home and you're rewatching it again on your 4K.
That will never happen.
When we get back to the beginning of the film, he's got him zip ties, walking him forward, and he fires two shots into the air. And each time he fires a shot, one of their die packs goes off in the back.
Both of them do. Both of them do.
Yeah, I'm saying. But
goes I think what that might be, but I'm making this up, you see. So don't worry about it. You're in good company right now. I figured when they went through them two doors, like that triggers the packs or something.
Maybe.
I'm making that up. I'm just trying to be nice.
What happened was there was a GPS and they weren't going north. They went northeast.
Once you go through them two doors, it triggers the packs. And so, because there's no way you'd leave with them bags unless there was trouble. So I made that up. And that's a new technique.
They did as well. And I think yours was a better
idea.
I think yours was a better explanation than him shooting two rounds into the ceiling.
So yeah, that all was a little bit confusing. And yeah, like you say, next minute, the bank robbers fucking escaped into thin air. Frank Grillo's at the FBI headquarters, and they're like, it was you.
Yeah, but basically they're saying it was him. But he's not doing a good job. Yeah, but because we're supposed to think, oh, he's having PTSD from this. But this is nothing against Frank Grillo, but we've seen so many movies of Frank Grillo being a tough guy. I don't think he gets PTSD. You know what I mean? Like, he gives PTSD. Like, so when he's sitting there looking like mopey, we're kind of like, I'm just not buying it, Frank. Like, you haven't been in enough films for me to go that you've got emotional depth outside of rage.
The least thing, all Frank Grillo's doing is sat there calculating how much he's got to pay as a landscape gardener at this point.
Yeah, I think as he was rubbing his head, he goes, okay, I want to put this tree over here. There's going to be a fountain. I think there might be a waterfall. I just love that was a thing that he actually was like, you know what? Look it. I took this piece of shit because my wife wanted
like
to fucking
John Carpenter with his swimming pool. He wanted a new swimming pool, so he let everyone fuck over his thing movie or Halloween or whatever the fuck.
As well, you know what? You want to take a shit on my beloved thing? All right, I'm going to get too pulled.
You want to ruin my legacy? I need a new swimming pool. Let's deal.
Indoors, please.
That's the morals of Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, right there.
So we also, the intro to Bruce was stupid. Because one, it's not his voice. That's number one.
There's that.
He's outside doing pull-ups, and then, hey, well, I'll take your time anytime, punk, or whatever. You're kind of like, all right, one, that's in voiceover.
But then there's that really awkward shot of him from behind that is blatantly not him.
Yes, 100%. Every time it's from behind, it's not him.
Yeah, but that's the only one from where you see him from behind. And
no, there's another one. He's walking up with the shotgun.
Yeah, but that was him. No,
was it?
The
chin up one. Yeah, the one.
But you didn't need to see it. It's a bit like, why did you know? You could have just had his voice off. You know, he could have been off screen, and you could have just been hearing his voice, and you'd have been. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have felt no differently about it. But it's just so gratuitously bad that that's obviously not him. He's just like you would know anyone else, any other filmmaker would be like, well, that's obviously really bad. And it's kind of.
Well, he's only there one day.
But in fairness to Mr. Willis, he does quite a lot in that day.
He does.
Right, but that one shot of him from behind is anyone who knew what they were doing would have removed it because it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of out of focus as well.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit thrown in there later, but it needn't have been in there. So it's a very odd little shot there.
This is where we dive into a bit of the sad part of this discussion. I don't know if you felt the same way when you watched it. But when they finally do have Bruce come over and he talks and he's walking over, he's not in good shape. He's not in good shape.
He's looking very slim.
Very slim. He's got the shakes.
Withdrawn, it seems
like he doesn't know his lines real well. Like as obviously, because we know it's one day. As the movie goes on, so this part in the beginning is probably the beginning of the day. As we get towards the end of the day,
they did it in like in sequence.
Yeah, for him, he.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He slowly seems to get some of his faculties back to him, but the first part of this film with him in it was very hard for us now because we know in hindsight now because in 2018 if you're watching it, you go, well, maybe that's just his character, but now that we know we are 6 years down this journey, it is hard to watch.
I was being forgiving. I felt like, oh, so he's a retired cop. He's an older guy. So maybe he is a little bit more of a schlubby guy. But later on, he's not.
He seems to wake up after lunch. I'm just like,
But then he's on the meds in that movie too. So I was a little bit.
I know.
I'm making excuses.
Yeah, it's because
I
first wrote down, not sure if the pain and shakes Bruce's character has in the film is a part of his character or actual signs of the aphasia.
Yeah.
Even his speech seems a bit slurred. So even when we move into like them talking in their bunker of now know everything, they're in the war room. Even then you're kind of like, But as we get to him going into the shootout at the end and then eventually they film the night scenes, his character wakes up.
Yeah.
So you can tell that maybe, you know, maybe he had some medicine. Something was helping him in the second half of the day.
I think
so
you're
it wasn't
right.
a character thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right. But I was just being a little bit like...
Oh, me too. I just felt bad.
A bit more credit.
I was hoping...
Well, you know, he's a retired older cop. He's on medication.
He doesn't
maybe
look
that's
good. This
why
is the
he's...
first time he didn't look like healthy.
He didn't look great.
No. It's jarring, especially if you've been on our journey, right? Because we've been watching Bruce do some pretty decent things lately. And all of a sudden, this one kind of slaps you in the face. And you're like,
well, the difference between this and Once Upon a Time in Venice.
It's huge. Huge.
Yeah.
And it makes me worry because we're just starting season two. So, you know, this is film 13 of 27 to go.
No.
I'm just saying, now if we're here, I'm just like, oh no, like this is showing up this bad.
We've got two. Yeah.
We've got some time.
However,
he does, like I said, he rallies, and smartly enough, he's not a major part of this film. And I think they did some good editing choices.
Yes.
I think they filmed more of this than they needed to. And they do a lot of just quick cut scenes sometimes of them talking about certain things in that garage that hide his probably inability that part of the day to really do a whole lot of anything.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'll give the filmmakers credit because, look, we've watched enough of these films now. This is a striking... But I bet they were glad that when we get to the end, probably the best part of the film, the end shootout scene, he's very serviceable, and he does an admirable job. He's able to deliver some lines, and, you know, he's able to, like, I don't know, pep up. I don't know if he took an adrenaline shot to the heart or whatever, but...
He does, at the end of this movie, what I felt the end of acts of violence needed from him.
Mm. Yes, him being the...
Because he doesn't show up at the end of acts of violence.
No.
And you're like, that would have kind of... That would have rescued
it
slightly, yeah. Whereas in this movie, he does come through at the end. But that's the whole... Like, we'll get to that.
I think that kind of pulled this movie up. Like, it
Absolutely.
Elevated over where it was headed. Like, it was headed to shit pile.
Dragged,
it pulled it up just a little bit
violence.
More. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but dragged acts of violence down.
Now, as I said in the preamble, this kid with diabetes is pointless. I don't know what that's about. It's there for plot preferences. And this, I don't want to be mean to this girl. Maybe they owed him money. Maybe she lent him money and she's one of those day players who they owe fucking money to.
She started her lunch money for 2 years to be in this movie.
I don't know. She's wooden, as you say. She's a wooden duck in water. And a couple of times she has to pretend she's going into a diabetic coma. Not only can her mother not find her keys, they never know when her insulin's low. Like, she's always insulin low at the wrong time of every moment. And then she just lays there like she's asleep. You can tell she's fake sleeping. Like, not once did I think she was in any kind of medical danger. It's just like, why do we have this girl with diabetes? Like, couldn't have given her cancer or something? Like, well, who gives a shit about this girl and her fucking diabetes?
For all that's going on, for that to be the ticking clock.
Yes, that was what it was.
It's
the ticking
clock. Like, well, you know.
It was fucking stupid.
Feed her a fucking Hershey bar. She'll be
stupid.
Fine, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that was
some
a
more
bit
fantastic writing. Oh,
that was
Jesus.
A bit poor, but... But I will say, so after the robbery, Frank Grillo's at the FBI headquarters, and then he kind of gets, he gets kind of fired.
Well, he gets put on administrative leave for, I understand it's the movie, but none of that makes sense. There are video cameras. The guy's in the office, and he even says, I've not missed a day in 10 years or whatever it is. There's no rhyme or reason for anyone to suspect him of doing anything otherwise.
Well, not only that, but perhaps, you know, because it was a traumatic experience, they've given him some time off. But he uses that time off
wisely.
And that's when the movie does... Well, there's two things about the movie where all of a sudden it does get a tad more interesting when Bruce Willis and Frank Grillo kind of team up Holmes and Watson styly, yeah?
Yep.
And at the same time, we get your guy, Mr. Jonathan Sheech.
I think it's Sheck. I actually looked at the pronunciation. The pronunciation is S-H-E-K when they put it on, like, when you pronounce it. So it's like
Shrek, yeah?
Like Shrek, but without the R. Yeah, like Jonathan Sheck. I think it's Sheck.
So
So I feel like Sheech. Hey, Sheech Marin over here.
So when Jonathan Cheek shows up, and you kind of get his backstory to an extent.
Which, again, that still is convoluted, too, because he says a life for a life. But whose life? Like, right? Like, is that?
I get that. But
did
no,
that not feel
get,
like his dad's get, scene was filmed in some fucking dive apartment?
Like, some fucking dorm room or something. Like.
It's like a stove, I think, right next to the bed. Like, where is he?
Obviously, Emmett's fucking new girlfriend is at college.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've used their fucking dorm room, the fucking sleazy motherfucker. Anyway, so you kind of get Jonathan Sheck's kind of. I'm keep saying Sheck now because I know how to pronounce
good.
It.
No, it's fine.
So
yeah,
I'm
should.
Doing. I'm gonna. You're gonna be sick of hearing the fucking word by the end of this episode. So Jonathan Sheck, you get his backstory a bit and his kind of why he's obviously getting the money for his father's medication bills.
Somebody called a Sheck check.
Blah. Yeah. Oh, so yeah, you get that. So things start to pick up a little bit. We start to get, oh, so this is why this is happening. This is who's doing it. These guys are fucking, they're going in on this. They're figuring it out.
Mission Impossible. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
It's bizarre that the beginning of the film is the only part that makes sense. And then the ludicrous part, like everything afterwards, is actually makes the movie more enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly. The reality sucks.
The reality's awful. It's like a fever dream. It's like, you know what?
Yeah.
What? It's like, it's almost as if what's his name was hitting the back of the head and he's in a coma the whole time and this is what he's dreaming about the entire time. I could solve this case. There's no doubt I can solve this case.
This is what I should have done. And then it goes into dreamland, Scooby-Doo style.
Spoiler alert, so not only is Frank Grillo good at this, he decides to leave banking altogether and become a police officer. Buddy.
At the age of like 45.
At the age of 97, he's the newest rookie on the force.
A little bit, that was a bit hard to swallow. But things pick up. You know, they get more interesting. You kind of perks you up a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
And you kind of get a bit more invested.
It has precious cargo vibes in the fact that it goes with its violence. Again, no one really dies. The violence is just for violence sake. It's literally just, we're going to shoot a bunch of guns with no real stakes involved. But all this movement, and so it keeps you at least engrossed in the film where sometimes this is an action film. You're like, fucking action?
You got some sneaking around, some car chases, some, you know, some like, some
all of it is
on.
All of it's implausible, but it's all in good fun, which I can appreciate.
Implausible. Yes. You're right. But it's fun. It's kind of good.
I love how they figure out he's probably going to hide out as a dock worker. What? Why would that be a thing you think that's what it is? And so he's, I'm going to go by these two places. And I'm going to stake them out.
And they are
and then
the two
he, like,
places.
He's like, I think this is the bus. I'm headed back. And also, like, he hears like a sound inside this brick fucking warehouse. And when we finally find Check, he's fucking some. Like, you're like, there's no way. There's no way Grillo's character heard any sound. But he's like, wait a minute, my spider senses are tingling. Batman, get the car. He's like, Batman
like
around.
Said, implausible, but
very implausible.
Entertaining.
But entertaining. Very entertaining. Yeah. Like you said, there, you know, not a lot of humor in this. So when we get to our final thoughts, one-liners, that was, I almost stayed up all night figuring it out.
I'm hoping you've got something. I'm going to just, spoiler alert, I've got fucking nothing.
Funny line anywhere. Not even like a good tough line.
No, humorless. Absolutely humorless. Well, I'm counting on you because I've got nada.
But that being said, I did enjoy Frank in this film. And I enjoyed Jonathan. Again, what I'm learning is, even with Bruce. Now, look, Bruce, this is a... he gets better in the second half of the movie. He does rebound. But for anyone who is doing this journey with us or just listening to us, but if you watch the first half, you'll see what Steve and I are saying. You'll see what they're talking about. And if you read some reviews, like some articles about it, there are some people who saw this earlier.
Yeah.
Like 2020 was a major one. But yeah, there's some...
This is a different Bruce.
Yeah, it was. Shocking. But Frank Grillo, with the script that he's given, I actually believed everything he was doing. Like,
He's been in quite a... That's a shame, really, because I think his time's passed now for him to be a legit leading man.
But did you ever see... because you love Uncle Mel, did you see his movie... Boss Level?
Yeah, I mean...
I liked it.
No,
I thought it was pretty fun.
No, I'm not saying... That's not really what I'm... His time for being a legit leading man has passed. He's been in some shitty movies. And he's been in some nearly...
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in some good fucking flicks. I mean, he's in...
He's been in... Not that you care, but he's been in the Avengers.
Yeah. Warrior. He's great in with Tom Hardy.
Oh, absolutely.
He's great in that.
Yeah.
Joel Edgerton. But yeah, I feel his time has passed now, unfortunately. But in this, and, you know, pretty much everything, he's reliable. He's got the presence.
He really does. I think he was born the wrong time. If he was born during the Stallone Schwarzenegger areas, he would have been a great action hero.
Yeah, he could. But they were gonna do Joe Carnahan, is it, who did the A-Team and Narc and all that. They were gonna do a remake of The Raid together, the martial arts flick.
Yeah.
And that just didn't quite happen. So I think that would have probably pushed him into the big leagues a bit. And unfortunately, I think that's not going to happen now. But yeah, he's good in this. He's he's a bit miscast because he looks like a tough guy, you know.
He does. Yeah, he does look like a badass bank manager.
Can't put a shirt and tie on him, and suddenly he's a fucking school teacher or whatever. You know, he's always going to look a bit rough and rugged. And as a bank manager, maybe the FBI were looking at him like, this guy looks like fucking absolute psychopath. Yeah. Maybe he was involved.
But he's trying to take care of his little fucking juice habit he's got. He's got paper and steroids, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. No, but he's good. He's good in this, definitely. As is, Jonathan Schaech's pretty menacing and psychotic.
Yeah, they're good. Like, the main characters are good. These day players are dog shit. Everyone else is dog shit. Like, there's even a cop who's got, like, a hoop earring. Like, they didn't even have him take it out. Like, there's a guy playing, pretend to be a cop. He's got a... He's just like, fuck it. Half these guys are like... It's fucking the kindergarten
cop. Yeah, the head of the FBI's got a neck tattoo, you know?
Oh, that's so fucking stupid, some of this stuff that happens. It's just like...
But, so...
The wife was hot. But she was just... She's just there for eye candy, really. Because she's just like... She's just bumbling Betty, because she doesn't know where keys are. Never has the insulin... It's just, you know, just there to walk around and scream.
And she's a fucking, isn't she a fucking doctor as well or something?
No, I think she's a professor at a college. Same because when Jonathan Schaech in the beginning of the movie calls in like bomb threats, and he's like, which bridge is it? Which bridge? And the whole city's going nuts. And
she's under siege, except
for the bank. He's like, hey, just another day, open the doors.
And there's a backpack taped to a fucking bridge pillar. And that's like, enough. Yeah, but anyway, but she's eye candy. She hasn't got a lot to do, to be fair.
No, she's just there to, I guess, have a female character, to be the mom. That's it. I mean,
she's the mom. She's the mom in any movie.
There are no stakes with the family. Like, there are no stakes. Like, eventually Jonathan Schaech finds a way to,
you're there to be kidnapped.
After he goes into a hospital that looks like the power's out, and these fucking movies, every time they go into, like, no one believes this. No one's been to a hospital, and it's been pitch black, ever. So they walk in. I thought, where is he? And then this FBI guy is like, hey, you two, you know what? I got this. Go home. Don't worry about it. Let's leave this whole thing insecure. I got this. Listen, lady, you're going to tell us. We need to know.
Well, when...
And then Jonathan Schaech figures it out. He's like, I'm going to shoot him because she must know the answer to things. Like, get the...
But before that, when Schaech's doing his little...
G.I. Joe...
When he's setting up, actually, there's that bit. But I was talking about the bit where he's kind of setting up his next heist. And he's, and I'm like... Am I supposed to know what he's fucking doing?
No, because when he shows up, he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you think, oh, he's going to do another bank job.
And
then it's an armored car.
And he just throws that, like, disc thing underneath it, and that's, like, something out of Mission Impossible that can just...
Hey, look, you just say Chinese. It's a Chinese thing, you know? The Chinas. China over here. We throw the China disc underneath.
Chinese fucks. We hit a button.
And then the guy who's in the truck. Oh, we can't radio anybody. I'm going to get out of the truck and see what's going on.
Yeah, don't look in the wing mirror. Don't look.
Nope.
He stood right outside the truck.
Yeah. And then I guess he gets shot in the arm. I thought he got shot in the head.
It looks like he shoves the gun under his fucking chin and blows his brains out, but that was just, he just shot him in the arm.
Yep, but he shot him in the arm. Then he's not bleeding because there's a lot of blood on the truck, but then he throws his arms back like he's just no pain. Hey, how we doing?
Well, they only had one shirt, you know. I couldn't change wardrobe.
Oh, it's just so convoluted. And then he shows up at the hospital to kill her for no reason at all. Like, there's no, the only reason he shows up there is because the FBI thinks she knows who it was, and he has no clue. He just shows up. He's like, oh, surprise. I've been listening. I don't know why he's there. He should have been like, I don't know why I'm here either. I just don't. Yeah. He kills her in the dark. And then he's sitting there and they're on the phone and no one comes in to check vitals. There's no one in the hospital. No one's walking by. You can't go to a hospital in the world and it not be loud and people everywhere. In the movies, no one is on staff.
Now, things that Things are different in Cincinnati. See,
Cincinnati, the WKRP shut down, and what are we going to do? There's no more WKRP in Cincinnati. We got to pack it up. All right, we're out of here. One of my notes was, so the best way to clear your name as being a possible suspect isn't to tell the cops where the money is or where the guy's hideout was. It's to take the stolen money and hide it in your trash bin. So is he going to keep the money? Is that what was going to happen? Like, because he says to Bruce Willis, he goes, I'm not that guy's bait or something. Like,
well, no, I kind of get that. But that is kind of just like out of nowhere.
I think we're supposed to know in the beginning he's looking at bills and they're having a tough time. We may have to cut back on a few things. Every movie. He's got this giant house, these giant cars. And then we're supposed to think like it's like because the girl's got type 2 diabetes. Like, I think that's the thing of it's like, well, she's got this type 2 diabetes and all the medicines for her, all the treatments that we don't do for her.
Yeah.
This is why we're poor. And the fact that the wife's walking around like Gucci.
It's all a bit. You know what I mean? Like, again, they're trying to like overly complicate something that would be so much more entertaining if it was just more streamlined.
Yeah.
You had more cat and mouse stuff going on with Grillo and Sheck.
And it doesn't make sense why Sheck has to hide the money after the second robbery anyway.
No.
It makes no point because he gets away clean and there's no need to have to come back to the money. And it's interesting that they know he cut through that way, right? When that's how they get around him. And they still don't cordon that part of the area off. It's still wide open to the public.
No, he just gets in a car and fucking drives off. But geez, at one point in that, I was beginning to think, that's a pretty lucrative little career to carve for yourself. As long as I can drive a car, I can fucking get away with anything. Because he just drives off. And the cops are like, that can't be anything suspicious. Let's round up these guys in doctor's outfits and fucking beanie hats and shit. Like, it's going to be one of those.
Hey, Frank, you know, the other Frank, the one with the hoop earring. You get that guy over there, right? Frank, get over there.
But when Frank Grillo's in his kind of like, is in Shaq's underground lair type thing, when he was getting his motorbike ready and shit.
It's Batcave.
I was thinking, if Frank Grillo knocks something
I
over,
was thinking the same thing.
I mean?
He's going to bump it. In my mind, that's like he's going to bump this fucking drum.
I was like, I'm not going to be very happy because I'm like, you know, come on, Grillo's. Grillo's better than that, man.
Keys fall out. He goes, I found her keys. Just kidding. The long joke.
But I was like, if there's like a spanner or like on top of like a, top of a table and he walks past it and knocks it over and suddenly there's like a, I'd have been super fucking pissed. But it doesn't happen. Thankfully, that's the one.
We both had the same thought process. I'm like, he's going to hit, he's going to bang one of these, like, he's banging a drum. That's what's going to happen. Like, this cocksucker is going to knock everything over like fucking dominoes. If we're going to have a fucking.
That would have been, that would have been quite funny.
And he sneaks in there without any weapons. Like, what was his plan?
But then I know. But then we're kind of off to the races. We are kind of off to the races at that point. That's when things kind of really kind of pick up and the sort of shit gets real.
The end is the best sequence, the shootout down by the water. It really is a decent sequence. I mean, again, a lot of gunfiring, not a lot of people die. One day player who's playing a cop steps out. Police tactics 101 for Cincinnati. Do you stay behind the door of your car and fire? No, you come around. I'm not a pussy. I'm going to get in front of the car. I'm going to shoot at you. Oh, you hit me? I'm going to jump in the air and land off the car. I was just like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. People like flying around and falling over and just doing really stupid shit that no one in their right mind would do. Having said that, Mr. Sheck, that must be the 20th time I've said his name now. Mr. Sheck, 21. Mr. Sheck, he's got a revolver that is like taking out an entire squad of policemen, which is just pretty intense sight. And at this point, you're kind of like, oh, well, you know. This is
one of the better moments is when Tyler Olsen shows up. TJ Olsen pops in with the guy with the mustache. Was the most believable guy instead of being like, he's an undercover.
He looks
the part.
He looks like Frank Grillo with AIDS. That's all I could think of.
It was just those guys. That was a more realistic point and moment. I was like, all right, this is working out. You know, it does that. The end picks up and that saves it. You know, we get a shootout. We get Bruce. I mean, look, it's a little melodramatic, but he comes around and he blows away Jonathan Sheck right over to Skeech. Skeech is in the water.
Yeah, he's got his fucking, he's got the shotgun. He's ready for some fucking. And like I say, this is like where, like I say, Acts of Violence sort of failed us because Bruce Willis would have shown up at the end of Acts of Violence.
That massive shootout,
when there's the shootout. That would have elevated things, whereas this, that's like, this needed it too and got it.
Here's the best part. Acts of Violence, he's an actual police officer. who should have showed up. And this, he's retired, has no jurisdiction to be there shooting people. And he just shows up and he's like, old man, get off my yard. He's looking to kill somebody. So it's just like.
Yeah.
First, he's in the ambulance with the girl and she's fake sleeping. And they give her this giant, I don't know where they bought it from, but this giant like syringe. It looked like it was like from Pulp Fiction. And, oh, you're going to be okay. And she suddenly wakes up. And you're like, fuck this girl. Like, I was like, I hope she dies. I hope she, fuck this. Who cares about her? She's pointless. And then the wife goes, it's okay. You should go. Like, she knows he's got to get into the shootout. And he's like,
yeah. Like, oh. And he's off. He's off.
Meanwhile, there are actual professionals, EMTs, who aren't even allowed to touch this girl. Like, they put her in the ambulance, and then Bruce Willis's character and the mother are taking care of her. And the EMTs aren't checking vitals. They're just standing around. Like, hey, here's the shot. You administer it.
That's why guys like Gus, man, we need to take the law in our own hands, you know?
Yes, I can't imagine why America is so gun-thirsty and thinks that a good guy with a gun will stab a bad guy with a gun. All our movies say that this is exactly what will happen.
Exactly. Well, that's how it works.
The power of the United States government, the FBI, can't track down Jonathan Schietschek and Frank Grillo and a grizzled old man with Alzheimer's are going to catch him.
Hell yeah. That fucking worked, though.
There was no stakes with the girl. I know they wanted it to be stakes. Weren't you hoping that this is going to show my degeneracy, but that's fine.
Oh, I know where you're fucking going as well. I'll say it.
When they're looking for the family in the truck, and I thought, oh, he that's it. They've killed him, right? Like, I was thinking, he's going to find him in a truck in a bag, and they're dead.
Well, I was hoping that... I'll go further. I wanted the truck to fucking blow up within it.
Oh, yes. Something like that. I was hoping something like that was going to happen.
But then I kind of thought, no, that would have
taken the movie to a place that takes it past the standard B movie. Oh, here we go. You know what I mean? We know how this is going to go.
But then it would have been Frank Grillo. It would have been Frank Grillo as an act of retribution killing Shep.
I see what you're saying.
Doing his thing.
I know what you mean.
So everything kind of worked for the best, but yeah, I knew where you were going.
Yeah, I wanted a little bit what's in the box. What's in the truck? You know what's in the truck, he just told you.
Where's my wife? Over there. And what about my daughter? There.
Plastered on the ceiling.
But we've got her head right
here. Hey, she took her insulin. Look at that. There's a needle in her. Sorry.
Unfortunately, it's in her eyeball. Oh,
check.
It seemed like they were following that guy for a long time. They knew him.
You're talking about a task force? Break it down for me. Oh, right now, while it's fresh.
All right.
No, spell it out.
All right. He was very tactical, right? Full body armor.
You see his face?
I had a mask. A mask, like, you know, what you would wear, a tactical, like SWAT.
You say anything to him?
No, I didn't say anything to anyone. He had cards written out. He's violent. And he had a lock. He was carrying this big, FBI said it was some specialized lock. Yeah, he put it on the door and they had a blow.
Did you get a look at it?
Yeah.
What kind of lock was it?
It was big. It was all like an antique. It was like heavy steel lock. They had a blowtorch it off the door.
Describe it to me. The lock.
It was big. It was old. It was steel. It was heavy. I don't know how he carried it.
Special lock.
Yeah, that's what they said. It was big.
Rusty?
I don't know much. I didn't see. It fucking happened so fast.
Oh, lay it out for me. Rectangular, right?
Right.
Like that.
Right. It was right. Hollow in the middle. And it was heavy and it was very old.
Very old.
Steel.
All right. So we start off season two, not on a high note, but not a necessarily an extraction note, which is what this cocksucker gave us last year, and The Prince. So a little bit better. Of the three we've gotten, this is his better film. You know,
he's
finally fucking figuring it out, this cocksucker over here. But we'll start with our favorite scenes.
Favorite scene.
Mr. Smith, it is your honor to kick us off with our favorite scenes. What was your favorite scene of Reprisal?
This is actually quite a long scene, and I'm going to say when Bruce Willis and Frank Grillo are doing their investigation.
Okay.
Because that's where it kind of all started to kind of get a little bit of momentum going, you know, a bit of excitement. And that's intercut with Sheck's kind of story. So it goes back and forth between the two. And I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Things are starting to pick up and I'm getting a little bit more invested. I think that's that, because you get that kind of juxtaposition between the two kind of situations going on, you know, because it kind of like, they're like, we're finding the lock that he uses, and then they're looking for places that he's likely to, you know, pull off a heist in next. And then you go to him where he's kind of like visiting his sick father, and you're starting to go, oh, okay. Yeah. So that for me, it's like the two scenes in tandem, aren't they? They're kind of like,
yeah,
back and forth. And that's kind of, yeah, it's kind of more, it all gets a bit more engrossing at that point. So that's for me, that's my favorite scene.
For me, I choose the end shootout. Everything else for me, like you said, it was good, but so farcical. So like, this is a so, get the fuck out of here, over there. But the end shootout was enjoyable. There was some real stakes to it. Like, even the way they began the whole thing and the way it just ends up going. Look, there's a lot of bullets being shot. It's G.I. Joe. It's the Star Wars. It's the A-Team. No one's really getting hit. And when they do, it's really bad deaths. But Bruce Willis comes flying around the corner with a shotgun. Check goes over to Bear. It was a really good, fun ending scene. And it's like, oh, all right, there we go. At least it built to a good climax. An enjoyable climax. So you go, you know what? All right. I appreciate, at least if you're going to give me the end of a movie and it's an action movie, you gave me some motherfucking action.
And what we've sort of not mentioned is when Bruce Willis is shooting the shit out of Shaq with his shotgun, Frank Grillo is not wanting him to because he doesn't know that his family is safe, but Bruce Willis does. So you do get that kind of little bit of intensity going on too. So yeah, no, that is a great scene, you're right.
Best one-liner.
Here we go, Mr. Smith. Do you want me to start with this one for best one-liner since you...
Well, no, you're not going to start. You're going to start and finish because I've got nothing.
Finish, all right. So it was a brief moment, and it may be a bit of a funny moment, but it was so quick, it didn't really get the laughs it probably was looking for. But Bruce Willis has given Frank Grillo a radio because he's going to go out and do his little private investigation, but he's got no gun. And what he's going to do is when he gets to the place and sees him, he's going to call in this code, and all these cops immediately know what that code means, and they're going to show up ready for a fucking fight. And Frank Grillo goes, can't you just give me a gun? And Bruce says, I just gave you 20. That's as good as I could find. That's as good a moment as you get. Yeah. And I think it's supposed to be made for laughs, but it just doesn't come across like that because we're just so lost in what's happening in this one film.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty slick line, actually.
Because we're all sitting there and we're trying to figure out, okay, how are these guys connecting these dots? Like, it just seems like they're coming up with ideas in that moment we're talking about. And we're just going with it because it's in the script. We're just kind of like, but why? But why was that your conclusion?
Yeah, yeah. No, that is a pretty, I'll give you that. That's a pretty slick line, but that went.
Or a good interchange.
But yeah.
Nothing else.
I didn't.
No.
There was nothing after that, so I just missed that one.
Even when Sheck is up on the stairs and he's like dead to rights and he's going to shoot him and he don't move and he's like something about no mercy, an eye for an eye, which we still have no idea why he's saying an eye for an eye, a life for a life. No clue. That is just left.
Well, I guess that's something to do with his dad.
Maybe,
being
but
in
it has nothing to do with anything else that's going on.
No, it doesn't have anything. That's...
All right, so we only get one line this month. Way to kick off season two. We'll do better next time. Maybe the film will do better next time. Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually, they can do better next time. Because look, I can't give you lines that aren't there.
Moving on to our best performance.
Best performance.
Mr. Smith, who gave the best performance in this dynamo of a film when there's really three people acting in it? So which of those three are you choosing from?
For me, Mr. Frank Grillo.
That'll be I'll give that a second as well.
He's giving it his best. He's working. Yeah, he's doing his best with what he's been given.
Sheck was good, but unlike some of his other performances, I don't think he was given a lot. A lot of the stuff he had to do wasn't exactly, you know what I mean? It was just kind of like convoluted. Like, there was not a lot for him to do or say. He was just, you know, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to do this action. He was good in it, but he wasn't given the stuff that we got in other movies of him.
He's being like the strong silent type in this, isn't he?
For the most part. He didn't get some of the juicier stuff that he got. Like, I even felt like in Vice, the other movie of this guy's that he was in. Or no. Yeah. No, he didn't do Vice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, true.
He did Extraction. But yeah, he was much better in some of these other films. And he was still good in this one, but Frank Grillo, for me, best performance over here. Mr. Grillo. Grillo the Brillo Pad. I'm just kidding. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Favorite character.
Anywho, favorite character, Mr. Smith. Why is it the little girl with the fucking type 2 diabetes? Why is she your favorite?
No, I mean, my favorite is Frank Grillo again.
Yeah, Jacob Tasker?
Yeah. I mean, I've got nothing to work with here.
I go with you as well. It's Jacob Tasker. I mean, can't be Bruce's character. And like I just said about the Sketch. And there's not enough to work with, you know? I mean, he's just a villain without a real backstory. I mean, we get a little bit, but it's just all over the place, you know? Like, he comes in all angry, like, he's a veteran who's got, It's like, okay, we get it. But once again, this all vet thing, like, stop using us for your fucking movies, all right? You don't even know what you're talking about. Like, that made no sense. This mumbling dad who has Alzheimer's in an old man's home, who was a Marine, got all these medals, but started his own business that his son now uses the fucking business to do nefarious things. Still don't understand why he went and robbed things in Miami or Pittsburgh. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. So, yeah.
It's
so,
lost on me.
Yeah,
as well.
So favorite character as well. I will echo you once more. It is Jacob Tasker, played by Frank the Brillo Grillo. So, it's now time for our moment of truth.
The moment of truth.
Did Mr. Willis drop a deuce or a Bruce in this film? Mr. Smith, what say you?
Though he got off to a shaky start, by the end, I feel like he delivered.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm going to... And you know what? It's well documented that he was only on the film...
One day.
For one day. And I think he does a lot in that day. That shouldn't really be what... You know, that shouldn't really go as a point towards it. But I think, shaky start. But by the end, I was like, you know.
Got to do some action.
He seemed to me, from the moment when they start the investigation onwards, he seemed up to back.
Like the faculties are starting to fire in the right
sense. Like, man. I think he's in the movie. You know what? I've seen reviews for this movie as well. And look. Anyone, when it comes to like Letterboxd, IMDb, any motherfucker can write a review, okay? Anyone can. And that presents its own set of problems, actually. You know, there's people who will say, oh, you only see the back of Bruce's head in this movie. And I'm like, that's bullshit. There's one fucking millisecond scene where you see that, pretty much where you see the back, and that's not even here. I'll give you that. But they're all starting to get a little bit like they're fucking insider knowledge and shit, like they know something we don't, because they're counting on people not even watching this fucking movie, so they think they can say any old shit. Just because you can write, it doesn't mean you should, right? So there's some bullshit review. Granted, there's some funny reviews of things as well. So, you know, you got to take the rough with the smooth. But yeah, a lot of people write some stupid fucking reviews for these movies because they think no one's going to watch them. And then when you do watch them, they're full of shit. Bruce Willis is in this movie, you know, more than he's been in previous ones, in fact, at some points. So for me, Bruce gave us a Bruce.
He most definitely dropped a Bruce.
Maybe only just, but he does it.
I originally thought I was going to give it a deuce. However, the fact that he has aphasia starting to really peek through, especially in the beginning, you can tell.
Agreed,
the fact that it's filmed in one day and the fact that he was able to turn it around and get himself, you know, get an opportunity to add more to the proceedings, as you like to say, at the end and be a part of it and kind of deliver this bravado and gunfire. Because we have the luxury of seeing this in hindsight, where a lot of these reviews are written when they first see it and no one knows what he has. So they're starting to think that Bruce is just mailing this shit in. And just taking the paycheck, which not too far for some of it. There's some truth to that as well. But because we now have the luxury of knowing that Mr. Willis is definitely at this point in his career, this disease that has now taken him is really starting to present itself. And he's still able to somehow find the whatever it takes in the day to shake off the haze of the first part of the movie and still make it through and finish out the movie, his film. His shot in one day and a lot he does in the one day. I give him a Bruce. I gave him a Bruce because of that. I don't want it to feel like, you know, it's a charity Bruce. But I think we have to take in consideration all the factors that are part of this. And his bad performance in the beginning is due to a disease and not due to a lack of trying or commitment. So there's, for me, the difference why I changed my mind from Deuce to Bruce. It's not because it's our podcast about Bruce Willis, but I do think we do have to factor in what is he able to do.
Yeah,
In a bit, he's probably going to just sit there, not too much. And I'm going to have to be honest and be fair. If it's no performance at all, then you are taking the paycheck, and then I will give you a deuce for that at that point. But in this one, the early is a stumble block. Like, it's like a race, and he fell in the you're like, oh, shit, we're in trouble. But then at the end, he's like, oh, I finished third. Like, he somehow found a way to run in and get a medal at the end of the film. So you're like, all right, I got to give him. He rebounded quickly. So for that alone, I will give him the Bruce, because we now have the luxury of knowing. Where, obviously, if I saw this in 2018, I had no idea. I'd be like, what the fuck's wrong with Bruce Willis? I would have actually thought he was something ill with him anyways, because, like you said, he's very thin in this.
Yeah.
The thinnest I've seen him.
Yeah, we don't give participation.
No, so this wasn't a participation. He actually was able to get up off the deck and fucking finish the race. And for that alone, he should get a Bruce. Because many people would have just said, fuck it, I'm getting the paycheck. Who gives a shit? Here's the back of my head. Eat my ass. I'm out of here. You know what I mean? So,
over here. He most definitely dropped a Bruce.
All right, so we move on to our final decision. Is this movie a Bruce or a Deuce as we kick off season 2, the 13th episode? It's always the danger episode, number 13. How do you feel about Reprisal?
You know what? This one scrapes through.
Okay.
Yeah, this one scrapes through as a Bruce.
Really?
As a Bruce.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
This film was definitely dropped a Bruce.
You know, if you'd have asked me to take a guess half an hour in, I would have said a Deuce. But I think that as the movie picked up and went along, I kind of started enjoying it a bit. Will I watch this movie again?
Tonight.
Maybe not. But it wasn't a piece of shit. This film wasn't a piece of shit. So it scrapes through as a Bruce for me.
All right. For me, this will be our second time splitting. We usually are neck and neck. For me, unlike what I was able to do for Mr. Willis, we're giving him the benefit of the doubt to pull it together at the end, which I do agree with you. The end of this film is really entertaining. However, to go 80 minutes to get to the entertaining part is a stretch. And it's not the fault of Bruce or Frank or even Jonathan. Everything else besides that, the plot is convoluted. The other actors in it are just, it is like, it is almost... they would have been better if it was just three guys. Like, I would have been better off if we had nobody else.
Well, there are more vacant
yes, than
actors
anyone.
In this than
yes.
Bruce Willis.
Yes. And a lot of people got some debts paid up. So the combination of all the pieces, while the ending is satisfying, which is a good thing, the rest of it is just like, if you were to put this on and you didn't hear our episode and you didn't know, you would turn this off maybe a third of the way in and be like, all right, I'm not finishing this. You would never see the ending of it. And you'd be like, Bruce is in trouble.
Yeah.
For me, I give it a deuce because while the end is a very strong ending and maybe one of our stronger endings and may get nominated for something that we're going to talk about in a minute anyways next year, it is once again on the stink pile for me.
This film was definitely dropped a deuce.
So we will split there with a Bruce Deuce, our only second. Catch 44 was the other one we split with.
As I said, you know, it only just scrapes through.
Very legitimate. No, you have very legitimate reasons.
I've seen worse.
It's funny. Your reasons for is my reasons against.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so it's just interesting,
know,
but it's okay.
I know where you're coming from, though.
You're like, thank you for giving me something at the end. And I'm like, why the fuck couldn't you do this the whole way through?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That's basically what it was. It was like, hey, dinner sucked, but dessert was good. I'm like, oh, what the fuck was this meal prior? What's this horseshit? Would you only spend time with a cupcake, sweet cheeks? Let's go. Well, that will do it for the beginning of season 2. However, on this day of Bruce's 69th birthday, we also have a special bonus episode that is also dropped on the same day. And that is our first annual Brucey's Award Show, where we take a look back at all 12 films from season 1. We have some categories. We have some nominees. And we have some winners. So when you finish this episode, let the other one roll in and play underneath it. So go ahead and check out the Brucey's Award Show special for Mr. Bruce Willis's 69th birthday over here. Oh, hopefully he gets a 69 on the 69th. Maybe he won't remember, but hey, at least he gets a little something for the birthday.
Oh.
We'll be right back.
And that will do it for our 13th episode. Please feel free to reach out to us on the show's socials, which can be found in the show notes, and tell us what you thought about this film, how you feel about Bruce as an actor, or even to let us know what you think about our show. We'd also greatly appreciate it if you'd give this show a like, leave us a review, and follow the show on the Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network, where you can find other amazing podcasts dedicated to such iconic action stars as Stallone, Lundgren, Van Damme, Schwarzenegger, and Seagal. The link to the network can also be found in our show's notes. So won't you please join us again next month as Steve and I pull our Willis Winnebago over to review Bruce's role in 2018's Chinese action war drama, Airstrike, to see if he dropped a deuce or if he dropped a Bruce. Until then.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
This has been a Man with an Exceptional Beard production.